Rabbi Aryeh Bamberger.
So I'd like to start off with a story. Somebody told me recently, a Geschmacker story. There was a bocher in Gated Yeshiva. He was a sort of unofficial doctor for the olim, for the bocherim. We needed thermometers and check out the taka not well. And the taka needed to be sent to the doctor. He was quite a chosh of a shlela. So one time he told some of his friends, I could get any bocher in Yeshiva into bed within 2 hours. It's a really good trick. What do you do? This bocher comes in at Berach 9 o'clock, and he's all fresh and dandy, perfectly healthy. At about 9:15, the bocher comes over to him and tells him, "Is everything all right? You look a bit pale today." He says, "Yeah, I look fine. What is everything the matter?" "No, you just look a bit pale." About 9:45, somebody else comes and says, "You look quite green. Are you sure you shouldn't be in bed? This is... No, I thought it was all right. I think I'm doing quite well, but thanks for telling me." At 9:15, somebody comes and says, it's not always good for the other bocher. It might be contagious. And he starts imagining all sorts of things which he was never aware of beforehand. And then by 10:45, he's fast asleep under his covers. So the miraculum was an interesting point in this week's Sedra, where we've got a point where we've got two people against the whole Kali Yisrael, millions of people, and they're convinced they're right. And they're shouting it out and saying, "We will manage to get Eretz Yisrael." And they're convinced of that. And they don't flinch. It's a tremendous power of thought in a sort of sense of knowing what we want, knowing what we need, and getting there. So this is a machshava, a certain machshava which I have, and it was very beneficial to me. I'd like to share it with you. I hope it will be a teller to you. I'd like to start off, it's a story, it's a marshal, it's a, let's call it based on true facts. A story can happen any place, any time, various different yafanim, how it happens, and they're all true, but let's call it, the story is Moshe, he's in a local yeshiva, and he's learning very stark, he's hoping to become a Talmud Chacham one day, and his parents call him up one day and says, "Moshe, we're going to Schweiz next week, for the hotel skiing, Thursday to Monday. Would you like to join us? It's up to you. You can't. It's totally up to you. We're giving you the choice." So now he's got a bit of a dilemma. Should he go? Should he not go? His Yitzhara tells him it'll be brilliant. For sure you should go. But he thinks himself, his Yitzhara's advice hasn't always petered out so good always in his track record. He'd like to have a more balanced decision over here. So he calls for a court hearing, gets Mr. Yitzhara and Mr. Yitzhatab, and they're coming there, going to have official hearing. So Yitzhara's got first choice. He's to live Adam Ram and Urav. And he says, "Well, put forward your svaras." And Yitzhara explains very elaborately, "Well, I really think it'd be in your best interest. Imagine the peaks with the glistening snow on it and the shining sun and the brisk, clear, crisp mountain air." And he's really getting into the picture with the cocoa afterwards. He's really getting into it. And he's actually feeling the wind on his face going down the mountain. And he thinks, yes, this is the right thing, but just for appearance's sake, he calls on the Yetzer Tov and says, "You know what, maybe you've got something to add to this scenario. Efshedach, it's unlikely." He's put it down very nicely. So he says, "Yes, I've actually got something to say. I know you can't understand consequences and you're totally absorbed with pleasure. Okay, I hear that point, but I've got something for you as well. Besides the point which we know Olam Haba is greater than anything we could possibly conceptualize of Olam Hazeh, but think about it, the emotional pleasure you'll have out of that. The feeling of satisfaction of being a Talmud Chacham, the achievement, the self-worth." And he elaborates a bit on that. There's a tremendous hergeshim, a tremendous geschmackheit, an achievement in Avodas Hashem. And he points out to him and says, "The achievement of Avodas Hashem, you need to chip away a bit from that Olam Hazeh. So this is a perfect opportunity. You've got the choice of going away, and you give away an extra day of learning, and you'll achieve, you'll come to Dargis of Yitzhak Hashem, you'll have that tremendous satisfaction and achievement." And he thinks, "I've got a point there. You know, Olam Hazeh is very nice, but now it's so much more exciting. Whatever you're offering me, Olam Hazeh, is inconsequential." It says the Yitzhak Tov, he finishes his closing arguments. He says, "It's the equivalent of open air Bentley and it's Matchbox equivalent. It doesn't show." So he says he's quite convinced. So the Yitzhara says, "Well, Yitzhara, I'm sure you've got nothing to say for that. Do you have anything to add?" The Yitzhara, he does a surprising thing. He sits down on his elbow and he makes a bit of a laugh. And he says, that's a really good one. I haven't heard such a good joke in ages. You, being Matzliach, that's amazing. And he laughs, and the whole courtroom laughs, and he gets a bit depressed. Could be he's right. And he decides, okay, skiing. Let's analyze what's happened here. Basically what's happened here is the Yetzer Hara said, pleasure in Olam Hazeh. The Yetzer Hara has put forward a good argument. He says, I agree with you, Yetzer Hara. I agree with you fully that the Olam Hazeh is very exciting. Kadosh Baruch Hu Borei Berachma made exciting Olam Hazeh. What I'm telling you is, Olam Haba is even better. If you're looking in the line of pleasure, I've got something better to offer you. What the Yetzer Hara says, I agree with you, Yetzer HaTov, but I don't believe you. You just won't manage. And therefore it's a Borei Reshemo. If something's in a case where it's a sophic, we all know a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So if you got this whole question, will he get there, will he not get there, take what's sure. And the Yetzer Hara has put forth such a convincing picture, you imagine it as reality already. Forget the point that a person can ever gain out of doing the wrong thing. But he's put it down as a tremendous reality, and the Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, is a bit of a sophic. So we're in a stuck case over here, because it happens very often, and that is one of the oldest tricks of the trade of the Yetzer Hara, where he takes away our hope in the future. And that starts off straight away by Esav. Esav is a very enigmatic individual. You find him selling out his Bechira, which is one of the best things possible, according to what we look at it at least, for a pot of lentils. And he says something very strange, Lo mazeli Bechira. But a couple of psukim later, and he's saying, V'akveini paramayim, he's fucked me yours twice, which means he's coming back to the Bechira, and he's saying, that broker, he broke that deal, he's an awful individual. So I don't understand, is he machshivit, is he not machshivit at all? And I can understand he's under the influence at the time of the Yetzer Hara, but such a change. And the answer is, it seems, but he still remembered it till then. So it seems the point is over here. The answer is, the pasuk before him is saying, Lomos, hine enoche hoylech lomos. It's a beautiful concept, Bechoria. I really understand it, but I'm just not going to get there. And a few hundred years later, we find the Meraglim in this week's Sedra doing the same thing. They're coming to Eretz Yisrael, and they're telling it, it's actually exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Eretz Zova, Scholov, Advosh. For their period, it's actually even better than Moshe Rabbeinu has advertised. There's one problem, folks. There's one problem as Efes Ki Az Ha'om. Beautiful concept, not so practical. So you can't really manage it. And that's where the Olam, that's where the Yetzer Tov loses us. That point of hope, of the believing in the future. And he says, well, you've done about the future, at least take the present. So what's the answer? Let's try to think of some sort of, the Yetzer Tov is at a loss over here. Let's try to develop some sort of defense for the Yetzer Tov at this point. The Amalek, this the Kud of Amalek, will be saying, I'd like to say sometimes that there's four letters. When languages learn from each other, there's letters which add and come out. Yaakov becomes Yankov. There's various letters. One of them is Lamed. So Amalek is Rosh HaTevas, if you can imagine, maybe Vidichasa, I can't manage. That's the Kerech of Amalek. Amalek is a Gematria Sophic. He says, he puts a Sophic in this whole equation. He's saying, because everybody agrees, everybody wants the Olam Haba. But the question is, which niggles in the back of our mind is, will we ever get there? So I'd like to point out a very powerful yesod in the Bria. The Sifse Chaim, let me start with the Sifse Chaim. The Sifse Chaim explains, there's something called Ayin Hara. How does Ayin Hara work? The Velt here is a Nusach called the Likopin, Likop Devadi. It's a very real koich. And we think to ourselves sometimes, how does it work? How does my thinking bad affect somebody else? This is a very interesting point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world with Ritzoinoi. He wanted to create the world, he created it. A person is created with Tzelem Elikim, which means we have in ourselves certain koichos, hanefesh, which are on the bechin of Elikus. And that means a person creates because he wants to. And therefore, if it's not really to happen on the fellow who he thought about, it might go back on the person who's doing the thinking, because he's created something. So imagine somebody's got an ayin tova, and he thinks good about somebody else. He's created positive energy in the world. He's created good. And that might be the reason why we go to a kiddush, we say Mazel Tov. What does he have from his Beres Hedyot? Because he is a Yid, and he's thought about it, and his thoughts are created chesed. He's tapped into the energy. We find that some people say the Nusach, Tracht Gut V'Zayin Gut, it's a Nusach which comes from early Chassidus Rebbe, which comes from the Zohar, which says a person Machshov is Dovek in Chesed, he's tapping onto this sinner of chesed. We find that many times in the Torah, this nekuda that be wanting something actually creates it. We find first of all about the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the people there were slave laborers, menial laborers, and we're asking them to do extremely difficult acts of artisanship, which needs training of years. And the people who managed to do it, it says in the Torah, Asher Nesoi Libon, they wanted to do it. And that wanting to do it has given them the kirch to actually fulfill it. We find a very interesting point by Yaakov Avinu. And up until very recently, I learned wrong. I don't know if everybody else is learning like that, but it seems I learned wrong pshat in the Torah. The Torah says that Yaakov Avinu comes to the stone, big stone, and he pushes it off. And we look at his big strength of Yaakov Avinu. He's a very strong man. 10 people need to push off this stone, and he just gives it a little flick. But Rechav Shalevah says it doesn't work so simple, because the Yoitzer say in Tal, Leman Gol Even Vayichad, Vayichad Gol Even. He was happy and Yechad Leve Gol Even. Why is that something to be praised? He's a very strong man. So why what was so special about that? And he says he wasn't strong. He had a rotzen, a tremendous rotzen. And that pushed off the stone. You might call it adrenaline maybe, but everything which is in this world is a mirror of the ilum of the real world which is up there. It's Dagobah Raisa Bar Alma. And if a person's thoughts have such koyach to create adrenaline, they surely have koyach to create things ilum amaisa. So let me share with you a story which illustrates that point quite strongly, I think. Imre Shapiro, as a very young boy, playing with his friends before he started learning, he used to have this dream that the whole Klal Yisrael would be learning the same daf at the same time. And he explained it to his friends, and the kids used to laugh at him. They used to chaff him a little bit. But he persevered. And the rest is history. So what happened was, later on, a person, a bit after daf yoyna was going on for a bit of time, and he decided he's really going to take it seriously, and he learned, and he chazed, he put in a tremendous amount of thought in learning daf yoyna. And one time a tragedy happened, his sister was avek. So he's sitting shiva, and his family are wondering, he's so involved in daf yoyna, how's he going to manage for 7 days? And he goes to the first day of Shiva, he goes over to the bookshelf, takes out Gemara, he starts learning. So they ask him what's going on. So they say, yes, Daf Yom is actually up to now, Moed Kotum, we've got 7 Daf about Avelis now. Perfectly tuned, came Chayenu, he just arrived at that point. Could be that Rotson, the internal Rotson, because he wanted to do Daf Yom very strongly. That created within him the Koyach. Something explained to me, it might be slightly different, that there's a big mechanic called Avi Shulman, and he was giving a public speaking course, and he told one of the few group of mechanichim, big hall, 10-20 mechanichim, and he says, out of the speech, tell me your dreams, your ambitions. So one person gets up, and he says he's got hope to build a school with special derech limud and individual attention, and he elaborated on that for about 10 minutes. And then he sat down, and he was quite, so he told his friend, I'm sorry, he was quite embarrassed of it. Okay, the next person got up, and he says his ambition is to make a chesed organization. He elaborates on that for 10 minutes, and he also sits down. He's quite embarrassed. It sounds impractical. So Avi Shulman says that 10 years later, the school is thriving, Baruch Hashem, and the organization has hundreds of volunteers. And it started off as a dream, as some sort of kernel of a dream, where they dreamed of something, and it eventually grew and grew until it came into reality. And we find that very strongly. We see on the Tadara, we find Ein Roya, Lev Chaymed, Klei Masav Gomrin. There seems to be some sort of natural process which is happening here. The Lev Chaymed, and automatically Klei Masav Gomrin. There's a second point. Besides the point of Rotten, there's a second point of the Koyach of having intention. And that should affect the results. That's slightly different. Let me explain to you what I mean. When somebody sits down to do something, what's his goal? His goal might very much affect the outcome. There's a famous story of Achir. Achir was a very big talmid chacham, and he knew a lot of Torah, the Rebbe of Rameir. And the end of his life, he went totally, he went off the derech, as you say, and he wasn't from at all. And Chazal explained how that happened. How did he become a talmid chacham to start off with? The way it happened was, he was sitting by a bris sula, his own bris. And his father saw that Talmid Chacham was sitting there. And obviously, Talmid Chacham at that time, we've got no idea what the level of learning was. And as we were learning, a fire surrounded him. And he was so impressed by that sight. And he said, I'd like my son to come to that madriga of the fire. it wasn't the intention of coming Shalei Lishma. A person needs to have Shalei Lishma in his present matzav, but the goal should be Shalei Lishma, and his goal was Shalei Lishma. And therefore he was matzliach to become a Talmid Chacham, but he didn't have the goal of having a Kiyum, because it wasn't his goal. It's a slightly different story. The Chofetz Chaim asked a question, a bit slightly more modern, if you can call it that example. There was a musag in Europe at the time. Somebody wanted to give a musag, an example of somebody who was very bizrizistic. There was the example of the Cossacks. The Cossack was so bizrizistic, they could jump from a running horse from one to the other one. They were tremendously, as they say in Yiddish, geschickt. That was the marshal, as bizrizistic as a Cossack. The interesting thing point was that when somebody wanted to give a marshal of somebody who was lazy, he was proper couch potato, sits for the fire, doing absolutely nothing, he can't lift his bones off the couch, they would say, as lazy as a Cossack, retired Cossack. So he asked a question like this, that we know, we've got your son, that somebody works on something for 40 days, the person changes his nature. So these people have been working on reasons for 30 years, 50, whatever the case was, they started very early on. How come it didn't last to their retirement of 45, whenever it was? And he says, the reason they were Zrizistik was not because they wanted to be Zrizistik. They had somebody pushing them to be Zrizistik, but their whole goal was to get out of the army and to sit by the fire and put up their feet and be supported by the Tsar. I mean, maybe that's what happened. If their goal for 40 years was to be a Cossack, kidei, to be on pension, that's what happened in the end. And we see on the other aspect, when somebody's got a goal to be Matzliach, he's Matzliach far more than you would imagine it would be. The Gemara said an interesting point. Somebody who learns, kidei lilmoid, then he's zoicha lilmoid or lelamid. He's matzliach to learn and to teach further. Somebody who has a goal to teach others, he's got the koichas. He's got the koichas not only to learn, but he's got the koichas to teach others, especially Sabbath Shmai, because he had that rotzen. But there's an extra badrega of somebody who does learning Torah, kidei to become a tzaddik. He wants to mekayim what it says in the Torah. Then the person will have the Sefer Shmai, a whole package deal, Gemara says. He'll be zeiche lilmoid, ulelamid, lishmoi, velasoid. Amazing package deal. How did that happen? See, let's imagine what's happening over here. You've got three people all sitting and learning. They're doing exactly the same thing. One person is coming to the Shia, Kviyasetim Latoria, because there's a chiv, there's a mitzvah to learn, and it's very nice. He's going to get schar for that, and it's a very beautiful thing. The next person is learning because he wants to teach others. He's going to have the Sefer Shmai to teach others, because that's his intention. And then we've got the third individual, who's learning to be Mekayim. And therefore he'll have the Sefer Shmai, b'shas he's learning. Mayonas HaChachma will open up to him, and he'll be able to understand his learning on a Madriga, where it'll be so clear to him that he'll be able to teach others. And he'll remember it, Lishmo, or Lekayim. He'll have the Sefer Shmai to be able to do the mitzvahs. And as we know, we need to have Sefer Shmai to do mitzvahs. And he'll have this at the Shmai because that was his goal, that was his end goal. So you see very strongly the point of slightly different, but again, a bit along that line, that the Koich HaRotzen, the Koich of his Machshava, has created a tremendous difference. We've seen the point where a person has a goal, an ambition, and that ambition has drawn out sources of Sefer Shmai which he hasn't had before. And we've seen the point where his Machshava is creating a difference in the Maisa, what the result should be. And this concept of Machshava being very powerful would explain a very interesting point where we see Yiddishkeit. By the world, they value one thing, they value results. If you've got a prime minister, for instance, or to take a very relevant example, who tries to do something and he hasn't succeeded, he might have tried very hard, but if he hasn't succeeded, he resigns. Because the point is the results. Either you gain or you don't gain. There's no mocking for what you wanted and you tried. By Yidden, we see a tremendous focus on what the wants were. First of all, we find in the Koich HaRa. The Gemara says, "Hihuri Avera, Koshi Me Avera." Somebody who wants to do bad, it's even worse than doing an Avera. That sounds very strange. You have one person, Rashi's got one chapter, according to one Psha, you've got one person who's doing an Avera, and another person who wants to do the Avera, and the wanting to do the Avera is Koshi Me Avera. What's he done already? He hasn't done anything at all. The Michas Chinuch, we find another aspect, who explains the reasons for mitzvahs, and he goes very, very often on along the point of explaining that the point is to make us better people. And that sounds also very strange in our worldly minds, maybe, because if somebody's doing the right thing, he's helping others, what does it make a difference how much emotions he has? Does he want to do it? Does he not want to do it? He's doing the right thing. He's not killing anybody, he's doing charity. What's the difference? And then we have the point of Avelas al Chorban, where Rav Shimshon Pinkus has an interesting point. And he explains that the Avelas on the Chorban, even if it hasn't built a Beis HaMikdash, but it's created a tremendous Matorah. It's created the Matorah of creating people who want to have a Beis HaMikdash. Why is that so important? The Beis HaMikdash is still not here. And we've done a whole Avoid of Avelas of 3 weeks and 9 days, and we achieved that we want to have the Beis HaMikdash. But the Beis HaMikdash still isn't here. So what have we gained by that fact? There were people who want to have a Beis HaMikdash. And the Teretz here, there seems to be a tremendous fact over here. If somebody wants to have something, he's dovek in it. And as we see the results of creating it before Yal, but it's a potent force. There's one more aspect of Machshava which we might elaborate. It's not exactly the same theme, but we see that Machshava has a tremendous koyach. If we want to maybe convince ourselves that our thoughts have a koyach, let's look at it from a slightly different angle. There's a Gemara which says that there was once a boy and a girl who promised each other. The boy promised the girl he would marry her. And he said, who would be the Eidim? He said the Be'er would be an aid, this well of water, and this small chai would be the aid. And then things happened, he forgot about it. And after a bit of time, he married somebody else. And he had two children. One child fell into the Be'er. And after a bit of time, chai came and ate up the other child. And he became a bit distraught what's happening to his children. And then he remembered he's got the Eidus, the Be'er who's the Eid. And he started to remember, he went to the girl, asked him, Mechila. So Rechash Melevitz asked the question, what's happened here? The inanimate objects. What's Kri? He said, and the Gemara says, Kavachoyma, somebody who trusts HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shatav HaKoyach. So he says, there's a Koyach in the world. If somebody trusts something, he's created the Tzino in Shefa in that. And therefore, if they trusted the Be'er, they trusted the Chaya, that's created Shefa in that thing to be able to do it. And explains another Gemara. The Gemara says in last week's Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Klal Yisrael, I can't bring down the slav, I can't bring down the meat, because Hanochi here or Yisio, have I given birth to them? It sounds very strange. And if he would have given birth to Klal Yisrael, he would have had the koichos. He can't bring meat for the whole Klal Yisrael, regardless of if he's the father of them or not. What's he bringing out with that? And he explains that with another Gemara. The Gemara says, for persons he tzors, he should keep within the realm of what he can. What he can afford. If he doesn't have the money, he shouldn't spend it. But lo itzos ishto yevonov, he should spend more than his yecholos. What does that mean? If he doesn't have it, he can't spend it. And Mechav Shulev says that they trust him, they rely on him, that they'll have Shefa from him. And their trust, their hope in him, has created a tzinor of Shefa. So that might be slightly different. The point of a muna on something, believing in something, creates a Shefa. And Kol Shekein, if we believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's a tzinor of Shefa. But there again, we see that his Machshava has created something very powerful. And therefore, if somebody wants, it's very mistaba that he's created something with his rotzen. There's another koach of machshava, which again is slightly different, but it's again explaining that machshava is a very potent force. There's a point, one of the early Hasidic rebbes have said a point which he says, how does Donna Kaf's horse work? Why is that so important? He says, interesting point, he says that if somebody focuses on a person's good points, every person is kol l'toivera, good points, bad points. If somebody is focusing on the good points of his friend, he is inflaming that good point and making it powerful and giving that person the strength to be able to overpower the bad. Even if the person is in the other end of the world, but by me focusing on his good points, he has inflamed those points and made them stronger. And he explains in the pasuk, if you think about it so strong on his good points, there's no rasha. He's not a rush anymore because he focused on his good points. And it works out very physical as well. If somebody got, he focuses on the self-esteem of somebody else and he makes his marichim, then it feels good. But that's only a moshel again of how it works in the olam haruchni. Somebody focuses on the other person's good points. He's created a better person out of that. And therefore he says it's very important to be Donna Kavschus himself. Because by focusing on his own, a person's own good points, he has strengthened those good points and made them and giving them the koyach to fight. So let's go back to our moshel. What's going on here? Back to our courtroom of the mind, where we have the Yetzer Hara positing that the only thing you have which is in the hand, the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, they say, Bori B'Shem, he's a lamdom. Bori B'Shem, Bori Odev. He comes into the Bes Medrash and says, Bori, he knows the lamdas, and he says, Bori B'Shem. So what do we answer? And the Yetzer Tov is saying, well, maybe you got this option of becoming great in Ruchnius. And Yetzer Hara, so how are we answering that? The solution may be this Koich, which is describing the Koich of Rotzen. And that happens in two points, which I'm suggesting. It's a suggestion, but I think it's a very powerful suggestion, which has a tremendous strength. First of all, along the point of Seif Maiz Machshava Tchela, that you're creating the results with the intention. When somebody does a Maiz of Chesed, he's thinking about what's happening. He's giving tzedakah, and he's picturing in his mind's eye the family in Yerushalayim there, who's having a nicer Pesach because of his Nadova. And that's where he should be. The person should imagine his tzedakah doing something. Somebody's got to take it at a very mundane level. Somebody puts in a lottery ticket, and he imagines it's a shtablus. He's not thinking of the chiv shtablus, he's thinking of the result of maybe winning. So there's a story. It's not a real story, but it's a joke. So there's a small country, middle of Africa, and they're struggling with their economy. And they decided, one person came with a good idea. They said, well, look, historically, America, when they won a war, then the losing country got a lot of investment. Japan got a lot of investment from America, and Germany got a lot of investment. Iraq, you got a lot of rebuilding funds, whatever that means. So they invest in the countries which lose. So the person came with a good idea. He says, we'll wage war against America, we'll lose, and we'll be built up, that'll help our economy. A brilliant idea. And they all, a round of applause. And one person pipes up from the back. There's a flaw in the plan. What happens if we win? So when it comes to Ruchnius, and we're imagining all the studying, we need to think, what happens if we win? What happens if we are matzliach? Let's imagine that we are matzliach. Take, for instance, learning. Of course, we're learning because it's a mitzvah to learn. But are we imagining maybe we'll become a Talmud Chochem through this learning? Maybe we'll become Tovuk to Hashem? Shouldn't that be this our goal? Take it maybe slightly more mundane. If you don't want to think of the starving people in Africa, think of somebody who needs panosa. Every bit of Torah is Ma'ir Shefa. Are we thinking of, I am saving people's lives? Are you imagining that? So somebody might think, well, that's not my Torah, my tefillah. So somebody said to me a good line. He said, let's do what we need to do and leave the grading for the people who are more experienced at it. Let the Kodesh Baruch Hu do the grading and we do what we need to do. We've got no idea what the results of our actions are. But it comes to tefillah, and I think this answers an interesting point, because it's baffled me for a long time that people are very inspired to go to Kibbutz Tzaddikim, and they spend a lot of money for that. And they're very excited. And of course, it's very exciting. It's the koich of Matnas Chinom. Everybody enjoys that, getting something which they didn't have. It's of course, and rightly so. How can we bring that in out to our davening, to feel that geschmack, that tremendous exhilaration of being able to daven? And maybe the point is, when we think of davening, of course it's a chiyuv, but are we thinking, maybe I'll be answered with this shacharis? Starting off Matovi, working our way through Pesukah de Zimra, and the whole process, it doesn't necessarily need to be talking about what we're thinking about. When we say Tehillim, it isn't referring about our Tzorah. David HaMelech thought about what he thought, and it's got a potent Korech. When we're davening, we're going through Pesukah de Zimra. Or imagining our Pech Zatoria helping maybe our Einikel, helping through a difficult day in Koilel or Yeshiva. Or imagining wherever Yetzolah we need, and going through the whole davening, my Shachris has been poiled something. This would give us a tremendous Korech to be able to give us Cheshek in our davening. I've actually been poiled something. It would be probably make sense to come after davening and say, Haske poiled out, kids. It's a very realistic thing. Your shachris might have sorted out something, which probably did sort out something. And the more we imagine it happening, the more we marich it, it indeed has koyach. We find it of the melech, who cut off the edge of the beged of Shaul HaMelech. He needed to do it, but in the end of his life, the begotten weren't keeping him warm anymore, because somehow he was mevazit, and therefore it truly didn't have the koyach to be poel. Beder kis, we find, if somebody is tremendously marich something, it has chashivas, it has the koyches, because as we said before, from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the people there, his wife is marich him, and says that you have the koyches, you have given him the koyches. So that's the two opposite ends of the spectrum. My mind is, when we say it's all in the mind, it's truly all in the mind. Your mind is a tremendous koyach, which we don't realize. And the truth of that is, that if somebody throws something, how far can it go? Maybe 20 feet or something, well, however strong a person is. Kicking, maybe, same sort of amount. How far can a person see? Far more. But it's also limited. How far can a person think about? Almost unlimited. The higher ruchnis we have, it seems, is more powerful. And therefore, if we have koyach, we believe in our koyach v'shtadlus, we should zichah believe in our koyach of thought. There's one last point which I'd like to bring out. It might sound a bit far-fetched, but I think it's a very powerful etzah, and I think it really can work and help people. There's a koyach of dreaming. Somebody once came to the Ponovich Rav and said, Ponovich Rav, the cholams, you're dreaming. And he said, I'll be shlofnished. But the point which you're bringing out was that the dream which he had to build a Ponovich of 1,000 people at a time where people couldn't imagine having a mini of people there created it. And people can spend a bit of time dreaming, maybe visualizing, take a page out of the Yetzer Hara's book, who describes so vividly the snow and the sun and the wind until you can really feel it. It feels quite real. Take a page out of that book and spend a bit of time, maybe in a time when you can't learn or you're doing something else, and visualize it. Picture in your mind, you're being matzliach. Maybe it's horror, you can't imagine yourself doing it. Maybe even it's, might not be the right word, but maybe even a bit of fantasy, call it ke'ilu klap at yetzer hara. And wanting, and this wanting, and creating, and visualizing, besides the point of making it very real, and when the yetzer hara comes with the bori v'shema, and he says, no, this is also a very strong bori, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help me. But you're creating in the mind koichas, which will bring you there. Now there's one last disclaimer. There's always terms and conditions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is very deep, and we need to read the fine print. There's one last point which I'd like to bring out. And that is a Gemara which sounds to be the total opposite of what we're speaking until now. The Gemara says that if somebody decides he's going to learn this Perek, he won't manage. If somebody decides, I'm going to learn this stuff, he won't manage. That sounds totally the opposite of what we've been saying until now, that the deciding and the Bachshova has been poiled. Here we're saying, Faket, the deciding has created some... Well, what's going on here? And the point is, a very simple point. If somebody decides, I have koichas, then that's a gaiva. Gaiva is the biggest creator of Iatzlocha. Who are you? Do you have epes koichas? You don't have any koichas. It's Kelim Mashulach comes to Gvi and says, he says he gives him help. You go to other, there's other people around. If he's the only person in a midbar, he says, well, I'm the only person, I'll help you. If somebody comes to the Hakora that I can't do anything at all, there's absolutely nothing I can do. You can't do anything in the world. So what can I do? I could hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one I'm aiming on, I'm relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Kaveh Hashem. So that's amazing. We say in every davening, and we should listen to Amal what we sing. Over Yotcha legadel ulechazek lakoil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make big and strengthen everyone. If you're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koichas, as much as I can't, there's nothing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much as there's nothing which I can do, there's nothing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do. And relying on that, that's called Kaveh Hashem. That's called Sivra El Hashem Lekov. You're hoping to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a tremendous power because you're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you have that fertile soil of Vitochen, which is called, or it's always 50-50, I'm trying my best, it might be Matzliach, it might be not Matzliach. It's like somebody came to the doctor and said, doctor, I'd like you to know that if the operation doesn't go well, I'm not blaming you. Everything's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, thank you for telling me that. Then he says, I'd like you to know, doctor, if it does go well, it's also not because of you. So, okay, so that's the two sides of the coins, where we know it's not up to us. We try our best, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu helps us. And if you have that fertile soil, then every single rotzon, every single machshava, as we said, it's so powerful, it's creating something. We feel machshavas. We feel when somebody's speaking in respect. If somebody looks at the person, we can feel it somehow. It's a very real thing, machshava. And therefore, the machshava is a very real thing which we know. And every machshava is creating power to create the toif. And let's come back to our courtrooms of the mind, which you spoke about, that Yitzhak Horace spoke so eloquently with. It's a koich of litzonos, it's a koich of yish, who made you say that Yiddishkeit is so beautiful, but I can't see myself getting there. I'm looking at statistics, making a prediction based on statistics, and I just can't see myself. And we tell Yitzhak Horace, your predictions are irrelevant, because I've got a superpower tool. I've got something which will create good. If I'll spend a bit of time, bit more time, a bit less time, dreaming about Ruchnias, imagining what it would be like, picturing and visualizing and wanting it. I have the koyach, I have the power in my hands to create it. And this creates one of the greatest pleasures a person has. The koyach of idealism, the koyach of wanting something, living for a goal which is within our reach. And this is the greatest power, the greatest milchama we can have against the Yetzer Hara, who comes with the koich of Yehosh, who comes with the koich of Atzvas, and says, it's a black curtain which says, don't see the future, you won't get it anyway, you may as well take something which you can see. And this is the koich of hope, which is the greatest power. And we see by Yosef HaTzadik, that's what pulled him through. At the point when he was maybe faltering, when his strategy of Chatosi Lelikim, this Oynosh, is maybe faltering. But Yova Bais Elas Melachti Kunt, some shot him, is saying that he had an Nesoyin at that point. What pulled him through to create, maybe if it would have been a Guinness Book of Records of self-control, this would probably be one of the all-time international Nesoyinus, where he pulled through. What gave him the Koyach? Shtei Dmust Yoygne Shalovim Neresa Bechaloyin. He pictured his man, he might have been a Siat Eshmai, but the Siat Eshmai is always a Tzor of a person's action, Mitzvah Geres, Mitzvah. If you look at that Siat Eshmai, it must have been something which he worked on himself. He pictured in his mind's eye, you could be one of these great people, the Shvatim, written on the Choshen. You still have the opportunity for greatness. You still can manage, and you can. And your Rotzon and imagining will create it. That's something which is hope. And if people have a very internal, tremendous need, emotional need, which I think are physical needs, we have a tremendous emotional need to live life for a purpose. And if we don't give purpose and a goal in Ruchnias, we'll automatically be Shoyef in Gashmias, because that's the way we built. But we need to tell the Yetzer Hara, we can, and we will meet Hashem, be Matzliach, Shenizke.